Today on Real Radio.
There's a woman there in India. In northern India, a Muslim family. And she became a Christian. And they found her Bible. Her husband found her Bible. He went to the cupboard and he got out kerosene and poured it on her. And went to light her on fire for becoming an infidel. And he couldn't find a match. So he told her to wait there and he went next door.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at three verses in chapter 8, wherein the Messiah uses the metaphor of light to explain a fundamental principle in the life of anyone who follows him. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called When God Shows Off.
Jesus is saying that you don't become a Christian and go out into the world. You are like a little candle, but don't make fun of that little candle. That little candle can really, really be bright in a dark world. And when you go back to work on Monday, when you go back to university on Monday, when you go back to the neighborhood today, you are like that little light going into a very dark world, shining huge amounts of light, dispelling the darkness. You don't stop. You don't go to your place of commerce, maybe being a fisherman or maybe being a baker. You don't leave your Christianity at home and go to the office and live altogether different. Jesus is saying that your commerce should not extinguish your witness. So the vessel, the basket, should not, cannot extinguish the light. And then the bed. This is a bed, more of a couch for rest, leisure, relaxation. It was about 8 inches off the ground, had 4 feet, and you reclined on it. It's not necessarily something you slept in. It's what you reclined or rested in with when friends were over. Jesus is saying when you take a break, you don't leave Christianity out. And all of us who attend this church, you know that well enough. That Jesus Christ is 24/7, 365. When we go on vacations, we don't take our bed of leisure and leave our Bible home. We love God's word. That's how we're light. That's how that little bit of light has such a great power. When you go to on your times of leisure, look, I've traveled with many of you. Some of us have been on vacations together. We get everything ready. Either we're going to be taking a trip by car, or we're going to be taking a trip by plane. We all say it. Okay, you got everything packed? Everything packed? Where's your Bibles? You got your Bible? I got my Bible. You got your Bible? All right, let's go. And then you get in the car and go. That's how we live. It's not a Sunday Christianity. Jesus is saying that this light that you have, it's an everyday thing. Why? Because there's darkness all the time everywhere. And we take it to our place of commerce. Now watch this. He asked the question, where would Jesus go? If Jesus were here right now, where would he go? I want to know, because if we're going to follow him, that's where we're going. Do you know where he would go? He'd go to work with us. He would go to leisure with us. He would go down the street. He'd go to the market with us. You say, are you sure Jesus would go to work with us? There's people who cuss at my job, Jack. They cuss like they're contractors. They're cussers. Hey, you have to be a contractor to cuss. I used to work at a company. You had to sign a statement. This is a non-Christian company. We had like 60,000 employees. We had to sign a statement. I will not cuss on company time. I'm dead serious. Why? Because they prided themselves in education. They said in that statement that cursing is a display of ignorance. Lack of vocabulary. Wow, okay. And you sign here and It's a what's called a fiduciary agreement. You willfully agree with this. It's not binding by law. It's a moral thing. You say, well, I wish I lived in a place like that. Oh, let me tell you something. The moment lunchtime came, those people cussed. Are we on lunch now? We're on lunch? Well, you know, beep and beep and beep. And what do you do with that as a Christian? Oh, my virgin ears. I cannot. Oh, you're killing me. Stop. No. Your Christianity is tougher than that. When somebody says, oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, you pray too? I'm a Christian. Wow. Oh, you were what? Oh, you're not? Oh, I thought you were praying. I'm sorry. Come on. Jesus would go where you work. He's in heaven right now. Jesus goes with you when you go to work, when you go to the office, when you go to the hospital, when you go to school. You're that light going into the class. Well, Jack, I'm just a little tiny light. Yes, but this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's what he'll do. And even when you go on your time of leisure, you're going to go water skiing, snowboarding, surfing. What are you going to do? Take Jesus with you. He's already with you. Take him. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that he, the Lord, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love. Isn't that awesome? You and I once lived in darkness. We lived for ourselves, did our own thing. Jesus brought us out by the gospel, set us free. And that's a great thing. Secondly, we realize this. He turns on the light because light shows the way. We all know this. Light shows the way. He says that this man sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. That means people are going to be coming into this room. And Jesus said that someone who is showing the light, someone who's my child, who is of the light, they're put in such a place on a lampstand so that it gives light to the entire room. Why? Others will see it. He wants to put us, as it were, lights on display. And in that sense, he wants to show us off, announcing the kingdom just by the way we live. Listen, when you put a light in the room, you ever decorate a room? One of the things you eventually get to is, where are we going to put that light? Well, you put it in a place that it's, first of all, convenient for people to access it. How convenient should the Christian be with the message of the gospel to the world? Very available, don't you think? That's why he sends us everywhere in the world. God's people are everywhere. Secondly, he puts us in places that are not only convenient, but places that will dispel the darkness. That's why you work where you work. I'm going to quit my job because those people just won't come to the Lord. You can't do that. You stay there. That company I told you about, 13 years, I was a Christian at that company. They knew it. Some people had come to the Lord there. But the guy that I wanted to come, the trophy guy that I wanted to come to the Lord there, my boss, is the guy that interviewed me when I first got the job. I wanted him to come to Jesus. And I witnessed 13 years to that guy. And sometimes I didn't say a word to him. It's just what I decided to do. I wanted to go home, but Jesus said, go the extra mile. So, okay, I'll stay. Think, man, Lord, save him. I worked there 13 years, resigned from that job to take this church full time. And yet he didn't come to the Lord. And I thought, you know what? That's the pits. That's a bummer. It wasn't until later on that he called me up and he said, hey, you know what? I know it's been some years since I even talked to you. And I just want to let you know that I wound up moving away and wound up hearing the gospel. And I came to know Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for those 13 years. And it's like, what? And many of us, we live with family, or we have family that visit us, or they know us. Yeah, I'm not gonna go to Christmas. I'm not gonna go to Easter. I'm not gonna go to that party, to that birthday. They're godless people. Listen, you gotta love them. You gotta take that little light of yours, man, and you just gotta be there. Because if you don't go out after them and reach them, who's gonna reach them? And here's the thing. Jesus said that a prophet has honor everywhere he goes except in his own home. You know why? You'll tell people about Jesus. I want to tell you about Jesus. He changed my life. Oh, we know you. I remember when you were 8 years old and you burned the cat. Remember that? Don't you talk to me about Jesus. You threw a window through my front house there. I mean, you threw a rock through the window of my house. You threw a window at me. And don't you talk to me about Jesus. But listen, you stay at it. You think you're going to go quit your job or run around and find the perfect place where all these Christians work? Listen, I work at a church. And we're all Christians. Okay? But Satan's real. Don't think Satan's waiting out there at that gate. I think he pulls up in the morning, gets right out. He's on time. We are to shine. And we are to be bright for him. He shows us the way. He shows us the way, and that's what's so important about the believer's life. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is yet day, because night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And that's how Jesus wants us to think. Wherever we go, I'm going to take that little light of mine and shine it to the glory of God. Another thing is this, he turns on the light because light affects the attitude. Light affects the atmosphere and the attitude. Wherever you go, and maybe you're the only one in your home. I read a letter this week from someone who attends this church. They're the only believer in their house, and everyone's against them. That woman takes a mockery from her husband and from her kids. The father's got the kids against her. And she comes here at a great expense, ridicule and mockery, and they watch her like a hawk. She shows a little bit of temper, she shows a little bit of worry, and they're right on her. Oh, where's your Jesus now? Your car got a flat. Where's your Jesus now? That's tough. But you know what? She's being light, and her presence affects the attitude of that home. And the same is true about all of us. He says that those who enter in may see the light. What a wonderful, wonderful power that is. Are you and I light enough to be changing the environment that you and I walk into? Wherever you and I go, Jesus would have us. He wants to. He's in us. He wants the atmosphere of where you and I go to be changed. I highly recommend to you Voices of the Martyrs. It's a magazine, vom.org. You got to get it. There's an article. Not this particular couple, but there's a woman there in India. In northern India, a Muslim family. And she became a Christian. And they found her Bible. Her husband found her Bible. And he went to the cupboard and he got out kerosene and poured it on her and went to light her on fire for becoming an infidel. And he couldn't find a match. So he told her to wait there and he went next door. And someone came and saw what was going on and they removed her from there. When he came back, he couldn't find her. She eventually made it to the people of Voices of the Martyrs. And she was given shelter, and she's a Christian now, all because her life began to change. They noticed, that home noticed that mom was changing for the better, and they couldn't figure out why. You can read about it at Voice of the Martyr. This man right here, isn't he a sweet-looking guy? He's a colonel in the Iranian army. This guy became a Christian, and they noticed the change in his life. And he couldn't, listen, he didn't preach to anybody. They just noticed the change in his life. And he began to ask questions. What's with you? You're different. You know what? That which was secret had to be let out. He didn't say it. It just came out of him. Love, peace, self-control, gentleness, kindness. He was arrested. He was tried in a military tribunal last year, and he was found guilty of being a Christian in Iran. The evidence was overwhelming. People testified, and they said, yep, he's a stinking Christian. He's forgiving. He's kind. He prays. He's peaceful. He's a threat to this nation. They put him in prison. They gave him a sentence. They put him in prison. Voices of the martyrs began to take care of his family. By the way, they do covert secret activity all around the world. Then the prisoners started getting converted in the prison. They said, "What are you doing?" Telling people about Jesus. Shut up about Jesus. You talk about Jesus, we're going to kill you. If you kill me, you just send me to heaven. So whatever you want to do. Well, then we're not going to kill you. Just shut up. So others started coming to Christ. You know what they did? They said, get out of this prison. Go, get. Listen, what would you do? What would you do? What would you do if the people who put you in there said, go? What would you do? No, he stayed. He said, oh, no, no, no. I demand my rights. They said, you demand your rights. You have no rights. You're a prisoner. You got to stay here or you go. We tell you what to do. He said, no, no, no. Listen, and before a jury of my peers, I was convicted by a military tribunal, and I've been given this many years in prison. I've gone through this much time. I got 14 months left. I demand I stay in prison. You got to keep me here. The sentence has got to be lived out. They said, oh, right, get back in there. They put him back in prison. He preached the gospel. He did his time. They got him out. And they said, if you ever talk to people about Jesus again, we'll hang you. Well, you know, I told you guys before, you hang me, you send me to Jesus. Well, we'll do something to you. What was inside him secret came out. The little light in a dark place goes a great way. That's your life. Oh, Jack, you don't mean me. I mean exactly you. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Raise your hand. Keep your hand up. If you believe that he rose again from the dead, do you believe that you have said, Jesus, save me from my sins? I have nothing to give you. I have no righteousness. I have no money. I have no power. I have nothing. I give you me. That's all I got. I give you me. Jesus, save me. If your hand is still up, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you that day, never to leave you or forsake you. And from that moment on, he will burn his gospel message out of your life. And it may be by what you say. Mostly it's by what you do. And people will take notice. They may not understand it. They're going to call you weird. You can put your hand down. You're great. They're going to call you weird. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to attack you. They're going to see if you're real. But the real stuff in you and I is the Lord Jesus coming out of us. And that's how it works. In Colossians 4:3, Paul says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open to us the door of his word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which we have been imprisoned. Colossians 1:26, that the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed through his saints, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery of the Gentiles, which is this: Christ Jesus in you, your hope of glory. That word is your assurance of glory. Wow. Wonderful. Excellent. When God shows off, he illuminates everything, verse 17 teaches us. For nothing is secret. Think about that, Colonel. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed. The gospel's got to come out. It'll come out. For anything hidden that will not be known and come to light, it's going to be exposed. The first thing that we realize here in verse 17 is that when he illuminates everything, he reveals his perfect knowledge. What do we mean by that, his perfect knowledge? This is what we need to know about what God knows regarding this message, is that his knowledge revealed is that the secret of the gospel is an amazing word. It's not secret. I'm a Christian. Shh, don't tell anybody. It's not that kind of secret. The word secret, word mystery, means something that has been revealed, that has been something that men would seek to understand, that people would grope about to find out. What is it? God announces, listen, was this secret? When baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem, was that a secret? Yeah, but he was born in Bethlehem, you know. I mean, who knew anything about Bethlehem? Only the prophets announced that it was written in the Bible. Keep your eyes on Bethlehem. And if that isn't enough of a public announcement, then Jesus is born and the angels show up in the sky. Today, tonight, born in the city of David. Angels began to sing. How private is that? Wise men come from Baghdad, from ancient regions of Iraq today. Makes their way. We've seen the star. We followed it to come and worship him. How private is that? Nothing private about it. God never intended the gospel to be secret. It's never something that you keep under wraps. It's nothing that you keep safe. No, it's designed to get out into the world. Isn't it awesome? Listen, what is the first book that was ever published or put out, I should say, on a printing press? The Bible. What was the first book put on audio? The Bible. What was the first book put on CD? The Bible. What was the first book preached to 3.3 billion, with a B, in 1988 by Billy Graham? Did he preach Better Homes and Gardens? Did he preach something else? The Bible, heard by more people. The Bible, every year since God allowed it to be so public, the Bible is the number one sold book every year around the world, that so much so it's not even included in the New York Times bestselling list because it's automatically number one every year. Whoever the New York Times bestseller book is, it's number two. The Bible. It's always the Bible. Listen, you can smuggle Qurans into China all you want. You don't even have to smuggle them. You have to smuggle Bibles in, because the government views them as a threat. Why do you think the Chinese government views the Bible as a threat? Because it changes people's lives. The Bible. God's revealed intentions. Tell the world. Didn't Jesus say, "Go ye therefore into all the world"? Can you go ye therefore into most of Europe, North America? Oh no, all the world. You guys, I was so blessed on Friday night. I met up with a man who's in Adelaide, Australia. They're 450 miles from their closest Calvary Chapel. And God is creating a Calvary Chapel there. And we met together. He met with Pastor Brian down at Calvary Costa Mesa. We're going to be very involved in the creation of that work. It's going to be very exciting. Why? Jesus said, "Go ye therefore into all the world."
Well, what are you doing in our own neighborhood?
Feeding people, keeping their lights on and their heat on at times like this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called When God Shows Off. It's an examination of three very brief but mightily clear verses in Luke chapter 8. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, you may recall that we recently presented a mini-series, also taken from the Gospel of Luke, called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Well, we've been offering it on DVD and received quite the response. Real Radio listeners continue to call, click, and write to request it. So, we've made the decision to extend that offer. For your tax-deductible contribution to the continuing outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jack's DVD series, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? More than one way to get in touch. You can call, click, or write, starting with our website, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can give us a call at 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to send in that contribution to Real Radio and request the DVD series, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous donations of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.